Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory.
Hi, Veritas. Welcome to our Equipping Podcast, and we're kind of plowing through a series of gospel issues where we're looking at different things in our life and society that we deal with and want to talk about them that may be considered hot topics, but how are we supposed to view these issues through a gospel lens, and what does the Bible have to say about them? So we've covered a variety of topics, and today we're definitely continuing to wade in the waters of a hot topic. We're going to talk about abortion today. It's one that's very controversial in our society, and the world talks a lot about, so we as a church want to talk about it as well. So I'm here with Matt Hoford and Sam Anderson. How are you guys doing?
Doing well today. Good.
And thankful you guys just volunteered. You said, let me have this topic.
I was pretty confident we were assigned.
Yeah.
But short, also, I think it is, calendar. I mean, Matt and I were both talking. We're like, is this a hot topic? I mean, like within the church.
This is definitely a hot topic in culturally.
Yeah.
This maybe is less of a hot topic from self-professing Christians. But then you get in the stats and it might. There might be more discrepancy than you actually realize, which is interesting.
Yeah. So.
Which also, I think, good to talk about it from the sake of, like, this is a gospel issue.
Yeah.
And so we need to talk about it.
Right. And maybe even you grew up in a Christian subculture, which is like pro-life, but we don't really know why are we pro-life biblically.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, because the other side can plays a hand of compassion and care too.
Yeah.
Like, think of the mother and think of the situation. So why... we'll get into maybe biblically why we advocate for pro-life. But first, some history around abortion in our country. Like, this just didn't happen today. It's been an issue in our country for a while. Give us some backdrop to this.
Yeah. Matt. So abortion's been going on for centuries, and I didn't realize that that it had been kind of that long. I mean, I'm more familiar with, like, the 1900s and on, but... abortion in 1910 was actually illegal in all states. I didn't know that. And so then you get Roe v. Wade in the 70s, and that kind of overturns that. And so now, constitutionally, abortion is legal in our country. And then there's been, obviously...
Since the 1970s.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then there's been arguments, and, you know, both sides have kind of argued and tried to lobby for changes to our constitution and government and everything. And then in 2022, the Supreme Court overturned that, which didn't make abortion illegal. It just gave the power back to the states.
So in some states, it might be illegal.
In some states,
is it illegal in any states?
I think it is illegal in some states. Yeah. I think it's more restrictive in some states. Sure. And I think it's like white. So yes.
Yep. But is there any state in America where abortion in any form is illegal?
I think I saw abortion was illegal in like 12 states. I don't know if that's illegal under no circumstances or if there's exceptions for that.
I'm unsure.
Yeah.
Matt's gonna go to the Google machine.
Go to the really quick. Give it a Goog.
Yeah.
Which even interesting, I think. We'll reference this a couple of times, but one of our strategic partners is Bridgehaven Pregnancy Support Center here in Cedar Rapids, and so I get monthly newsletter from them. And even in that, like the Dobbs decision being overturned, Dobbs versus Jackson overturned Roe v. Wade. And that was in 2022. And initially, like, great. But actually, then there was this kind of trickle down of, I think it was around COVID time, where we started to see a lot more people doing, like, online getting online medication to have, like, at-home abortions, and just this, like, total change in the landscape of, not saying that abortion is healthcare, but when it's like when somebody went into a doctor and they're like, hey, I need, like, what's going on? It's like, hey, you're currently pregnant. That there was, like, a face-to-face interaction where that's not necessarily, you know, now it's just kind of like I'm at home. I've got nobody.
Sure.
Can click some buttons. Yeah. And just, some really like, you don't necessarily think like, oh, like we want to celebrate like something that seemed like it was protecting and advancing abortion being overturned actually created a whole new set of problems that I think was really unforeseen.
Yeah. Has done some good.
Sure. For absolutely. Sure.
But then it's created
right.
new complexities with that as well.
I even just think the accessibility to abortion, you kind of mentioned that, but even where with some medication now, you've heard of the morning after pill, but there's also
Plan B pill.
Yeah, now there's also pills that are designed to abort a fetus after more time, you know. And so, whereas before it might have been more invasive and going somewhere, and now it can be as easy as taking a pill.
Yeah,
which
still not easy. Actually, I think there's a lot of additional health.
Yeah.
Health side effects and like complications that happen where it's what's touted as like an easy take a pill can actually provide a lot of complications.
So what are some issues? It's a big issue.
Yeah.
Perhaps we're not quite a lot of people may not understand how big of an issue is. What are some statistics of abortion in our country?
Matt, what do you got?
Yeah. This is kind of round numbers. So about 1 million abortions a year in the U.S., about 15 abortions per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44. This is crazy. Since Roe v. Wade in the 70s, over 63 million abortions in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And so this is also interesting. It said, and I found this on multiple sites. So I was like, is this more of a right-leaning page or a left-leaning page? I found this across multiple platforms. 1 in 4 women will have an abortion at some point in their lives.
1 in 4.
Yeah. Oh. And of those, 62% of them claim some religion, and Christianity is the highest one that, you know, and so that's like, gosh.
So this isn't something that's just happening outside.
Correct.
The church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I read somewhere it was like between 1.1 and 1.2 million in 2024, which would have been like 95,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So why is it? Why is the issue of abortion so controversial? Like, what I'm asking is like, what's the issue underneath the issue that's make this such a heated thing?
I mean, I didn't. This is the first thing that popped in my mind when you asked that was, I think for some people, like this is an issue of like you are killing somebody, and like you, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Then I think for other people, it's you can't tell me what to do with my body.
Mm.
And those seem like such controversial things where it's like, if you're pro-life, I mean, you can get pretty passionate about you can't take somebody's life. Right. And if you're pro-choice, how dare you tell me what to do?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. It's an attack on autonomy.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's the thing that came to my mind at first is it is probably the most prevalent with a grain of salt, I'm not saying that a child being conceived is a consequence, but the most prevalent result that flies in the face of our culture that says like you doing what you want to do, you know what's best, like that is a very direct counter result of this bill of lies of you can do whatever you want, have whatever you want, and there's no consequences, and it's like. But now there's a human being in the picture.
Right.
And this is a very in your face. I can't just ignore this.
Yeah.
And then people feel the guilt and shame and don't know what to do and can be quick to make a decision to get out of the consequence, so to speak. But it's like, but you're missing the fact that that's a life and that we were designed like in creation, you go to Genesis. God makes us in his image. And so we are the only created thing that can share in God's creative image making of other image bearers.
Yeah.
And it's a very like deeply at our core offense to God that we are devaluing his image in such a thing that seems like it's, well, this is just about me, but it's not just about you.
And that's the complexity. It's like my body, my choice, where you have this like, well, you have a body inside of a body. It's just not like, you know, I'm going to do something to you. And you're like, you have another human being inside of your body that is like, well, is it just your body or is were we dealing with someone else, another person?
Yeah. And I think both like biologically, as soon as that sperm fertilizes that egg, that organism has its own DNA. And so even from like the first second of that happening. Oh,
the technology now of like when you feel pain and when you have fingerprints and when you develop this and
but even how that, you react. Even that, it's dream. Like when does life begin? You kind of, it's like, so what would be what is the furthest point along in the development of what some would say this clump of cells that this then becomes a person? And it's like, all you're trying to do is say like, when are you really okay with murder?
Yeah.
And the only, like the biblical answer is life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. There's really no other point along where like personhood is initiated or like you can't really delineate. It's like, it's either conception or not.
So where in the Bible do we go to make a defense like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go, Sam? You want me to?
Sure. I've got a couple. Okay. So, I mean, we've got quite a few places you talk about the fact like David talks about being knitted together in his mother's womb in Psalm 139, where it's just this like beautifully talked about like intricate process. Mm-hmm. Like God, even in God creating Adam and Eve, like leaned in and formed them with his hands and breathed life into them. I would say that like that knitting, being intentionally made and being in God's image is something that is very unique to us as image bearers.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you go back to Genesis 2, how God created man and woman in his image, male and female, he created them. Like that's a very intimate, intentional thing that God has
done.
So
the dignity of life, that we are image bearers of God, so the sanctity of life, but also where scripture talks about just the handiwork of God in making a human being inside the womb is like, that is the work of God there. Don't mess with the work of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that is something he's doing. Don't destroy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Psalm 139. There's also a couple of examples of the prophets kind of recalling when they were called, and it's very similar language, but you look at Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appoint you a prophet to the nations. Same thing with Isaiah 49. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. Yeah, and so maybe pro-choice will argue, well, they're not a life. They're not a human until a certain point. It's like, yeah, but back to your point, they're intricately and intimately created and formed. That seems like not just a clump of cells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so what's the, we don't go down this rabbit trail too far, but what's the controversy around IVF then when it's connected to this argument?
Yeah. So IVF, I mean, is in vitro fertilization. And so you're basically taking a sperm and an egg and in a lab setting, you're fertilizing them and making an embryo or a zygote that can become implanted in somebody to grow and develop. Mm-hmm. The controversy, though, is if you believe life begins at conception, the second that sperm fertilizes the egg, that's conception. And so what can happen is you might implant 8 embryos into a female hoping to get 1 or 2 babies, right? Then you can raise the question of, well, yeah, but what about the other 6 or 7? Mm-hmm. Or often they'll overproduce those because it's expensive, right? And they'll kind of stay in a like cryogenic freezer indefinitely, maybe forever. And so let's say that you as a husband and wife have 20 embryos made and it actually catches and things work out and you have 3 kids and you're like, we're done.
Better get a school bus.
Yeah. But it's like, but you still have fertilized eggs stored somewhere. That's where the tension comes of like, what now? What?
Yeah.
And then you get into the humane thing is to donate.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're giving, like you don't know what's going to come about.
Right.
There is, can be, I mean, to go further into like genetically modifying too. It's like, oh, yeah. When do you get to the point of like, I would like my baby to have green eyes. Mm-hmm. I want like, you just start to like try to be God and dictate your circumstance, which I think is part of the backdrop to abortion in America that we might overlook is the connection to the feminist movement of really a driving force is how do we level the playing field between men and women at work? Because when a husband and wife get pregnant, the husband doesn't have nine, like he can just go on with normal.
Yeah.
Right. But the wife now has to carry this baby, have to deliver this baby who's going to stay home. And there's an aspect that society, especially from a feminist perspective, is saying, this isn't fair.
Right.
So underneath that is an issue of like men and women are made by God differently. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be fair. There's a design behind it, but we've rejected that design and we've said, how do we level this work playing field between men and women? And abortion has served that cause.
Right.
Where you have to come back and be like, do we embrace the design of God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I don't want to go too far down this road, but even the way that it's been packaged pro-choice, like, I hate saying that because it's pro-abortion. I mean, there really is a we have crossed a line within the last like 10, 15, 20 years where at one point there was, I think before Twitter became X, there was like a shout your abortion movement and people were like, not just thankful for the opportunity, but like celebrating the freedom that they have to take another life.
Yeah.
And to get whatever they want.
There is a culture of death. So even if you go back not that far, I think Clinton may have ran like with this abortion should be safe, legal, and rare.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like they're saying like, okay, we got to think of safety. This should be a rare thing.
Yep.
And now it's a shout your abortion, celebrate it. You know, that's a big
– right.
There's a cultural thing that's happening that's like that's not – a good trajectory.
Right.
Convenient, frequent, and comfortable.
Really autonomy. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do. And we think it can be a rejection of society's norms. But at some point, it's like, when is it a rejection of God's design?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to control my life and my timing and my ways, which is a root of all kinds of sin.
Right.
But what about the complexities around this issue when you think of rape, incest? Is there a good argument for, yes, abortion shouldn't happen, but in these, like, life is complicated, sin is complex. How do we navigate those situations? How would you speak into somebody trying to so let me – two-part question.
Yeah.
One, somebody might listen to this and be like, why are three dudes talking about this?
Also
because there's a view in our society like if you don't have a uterus, you got no opinion. To like,
right, yeah.
But you don't have to have certain body parts to come to – biblical conclusions.
Correct. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to say like, all right, this isn't truth based on biology. It's truth based on scripture.
Yep.
All of us are dads.
Yeah.
You got daughters. Mm-hmm. I got daughters. You're all boys. Trying to, when you think of the issues of rape, incest type of like, all right, now you got – how do you think through this now?
Yeah. I mean, it – not that that is evil and that does happen. But oftentimes those things are brought up as kind of a straw man argument.
Which is
– and like a reason to like kind of – the gotcha. Yeah. So really, I mean, I think biblically we see that – two wrongs don't make a right. And so just the reality
three
of
lefts do.
That is.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. Straight 90 degree turns. But just that rape is horrific and must be punished. But there's also an opportunity for compassion and support,
yeah.
And not a like, I mean, there's anecdotally, I mean, you have like, was it, I think it was Beethoven was like told that, I mean, he had a bunch of siblings that had a whole bunch of defects and basically his parents were told like, hey, you should abort your baby. I mean, medically, yeah. That would have made sense.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's just some of that where I've so seen even testimonies like, of people that are like, I am a product of rape,
yeah.
But God loves me and like I mm-hmm. can display the gospel sure. in such a unique way.
Yeah. Or your son or daughter is going to be born with this deficiency right. or this disease, yeah. terminate the pregnancy rather mm-hmm. than no, that's a life that right. is made in the image of God, right. has mm-hmm. value, dignity, and worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you make a case or an exception in any case for abortion?
I mean, this might be speaking from a place of ignorance and privilege, but I would say no.
Sure.
That biblically God cares about life, and to take that matter into our own hands is to say God's not sure. sovereign and we need to yeah. exercise and
if they're trying to
over ourselves.
And again, I'm just trying the issue is complex. The issue can be complex, but we shouldn't get morally complex. Like we need sure. to have yeah. clear moral yeah. lines. Yeah. But like when a doctor needs to make a decision between the life of a mother and the life of a baby, mm-hmm. I don't even know if those fall under abortion in
sure.
a sense yeah. of what we come to talk about it. Is predominantly, I got pregnant, I don't want to be pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
It's more the driving issue.
Correct, yeah.
But you make a good case, Sam, like in the case of whatever horrific situation, do we trust in the sovereignty of God over all things?
Right.
And seek to not just live longer or live in a certain lifestyle, but to be obedient to him in whatever he brings mm-hmm. our way. That's the disposition yeah. of a Christian.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so it's easy for us to talk about this yeah. in this room, but we got people listening to this that
yeah.
May passionately disagree with us. Mm-hmm. In fact, right now they're driving and they're mad and they're gonna email Matt
nice
Hofer
Facebook comment.
They're gonna make some nice Facebook comment. What would you say to them? Let's say yeah. they're part of Veritas Church.
Yeah.
And you're one of their pastors. What would you say to them?
Yep. I mean, if they're part of Veritas Church, I'm kind of making an assumption that they're claiming and are like born again believers, followers of Christ. I think the first thing that I would just say is like emotions aside, where in Scripture are you getting an argument mm-hmm. or a case for your views?
Yeah. Let's go back to the Bible.
Yeah. Let's go back to our ultimate authority, God's word.
Yeah.
Take emotions, take experience, take yeah. all that stuff out of
it. I remember
it.
Having a conversation with somebody who was trying to make the case that life begins with your first breath as God breathed life mm-hmm. into Adam. And as ridiculous as I think that argument is, mm-hmm. I was so appreciative. Like, oh, you want to have
You've
a textual conversation,
yeah,
yeah. and you yep. want to try to defend your viewpoint yep. from the Bible. Love that.
Yes. Yeah.
We want to be people. We want to be Bible people in that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'd probably want to say to that person is, okay, we love you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm guessing that maybe your anger or frustration is connected to past experience
yeah, yeah.
or hurt that's yeah. real.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to another person mm-hmm. that might be listening to us. They're just either angry, full of guilt or shame
mm-hmm.
because abortion is a part of their past mm-hmm. history. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a sweet opportunity to display gospel healing there. I think that can probably be one of the things that we might put into a box of being like an unforgivable mm. sin, which really it's like, God forgives all sin, that also doesn't negate the reality of the consequences. Mm-hmm. And part of the shame you're feeling is something that God is needing to use to draw you closer to him,
yeah,
while also helping you to understand the severity of that sin. So I'd say preaching the gospel to them, helping them to preach the gospel to themselves. Also, there's, again, I mentioned Bridgehaven earlier. One of the things, you know, I think anybody that is from our area knows what they do. One of the things that a lot of people don't know a whole lot about, one of their ministry areas that they do, they have a, it's called the Take Courage Retreat, and it's a weekend retreat to help people who have had abortions in the past heal and grieve and move forward in gospel hope in that. So I think that's a really unique opportunity for people to experience healing and be able to not just feel the shame and guilt, yeah, of a past choice, to be able to repent of that and truly run to the arms of the Father,
yeah,
in repentance.
Yeah, we had somebody up in Cedar Falls who, before becoming a believer, kind of late teenage years, had an abortion, and then years, maybe even decades later, gave her life to Christ and became a believer, and then just kind of dealing with guilt and shame and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. And so kind of back to your point, Sam, just continuing to remind, sin is a big deal. Sin is a really, really big deal. And God's grace is a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. Like, God's grace covers. And so, I mean, it was really cool, like, to kind of see that come full circle of guilt, shame, and then feeling like freedom in mm-hmm. Christ. And then even seeing her almost redeem that, to where she's like, I want to, like you're talking about, go into these places, either... Yeah. Meeting with women before mm-hmm. or while they're considering abortion, but then also speak gospel truth into them for women who have already had an abortion. So just kind of seeing firsthand how God redeemed a really terrible experience and feelings of guilt and shame and covered that with the reality of the gospel. And now this person is,
yeah,
like actually using that experience, yeah, and meeting with women all the time. So,
and not too long ago, I was praying with a lady down front after a service who was confessing some abortion was a part of her past mm-hmm. history, and just really struggled with guilt and shame, and come to the terms of God's grace is sufficient, and yeah, knows that she's forgiven, but struggles with forgiving herself. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that helps with that is in Christian community to know, like, that that as brothers and sisters, we extend forgiveness, yeah, and grace, yeah, as well, and yeah, feel that in community.
Yeah.
So what would you, how would you counsel somebody listening to this podcast as a part of our church, who's young, young lady who's contemplating getting an abortion right now, that's maybe surprised by pregnancy and is not within her plans and is really considering it?
Yeah, I mean, don't. There are so many resources mm-hmm. available where it may feel like a scary thing that you have to go through by yourself. Like, yeah, don't do it alone. Be in community. Let other people know what's going on. Seek help.
Yeah.
Reach out to Bridgehaven, get some informed information, resources. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are so many different choices that God can be glorified in, beyond even, I mean, there's adoption, somebody that in our church, you might, yeah, be able to, we might be able, totally, to connect you with.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the plans God has for us,
yep,
are so much better.
Right.
And, yeah, and the things where it's like, I would not have chosen, like, any of us that have lived enough life, we could go back and be like, I wouldn't have done that. But that was instrumental in, yeah, me getting here, becoming, yep, this person, yep, and just, yep, trusting God through trials, mm-hmm, that this is what he uses to shape and grow his, yep, people. Yep. I think it would be a miss if we talked about abortion and not address sexual morality.
Absolutely.
Because there's this thing, it's like, especially men or young dudes in our church, like, there's a context for sex in marriage that leads to childbearing. You're putting pressure on girls to sin sexually outside of marriage. They carry a weight longer, and you bail on that. Like, beneath the sin of abortion is sexual morality. What would you want to say to young men in our church that are pursuing sexual relationships outside the bounds of marriage?
Don't.
I mean,
no, I mean, it is. It's like, you're like, really, the essence of sin is like, I think I know better and I want to be in control. Right. And so, God has a plan for sex in the context of marriage that is beautiful and God honoring and God glorifying. And yet we try to pervert that and do our own thing. You know, and so, I mean, even just helping them see, like, this is not God's design. God's design is so much more beautiful. And you trying to take matters into your own hands to seek your own pleasure, to seek what you think will bring fulfillment. Like, it's just wrong. I mean, it's just another example of, like, twisting the truth or twisting God's design. Idolatry, like, you doing your own thing, you elevating something, in this case sex, to a level that it shouldn't be, in a context it shouldn't be in. And so, I mean, don't. I think I would, like, grow up. Like, living kind of in this, like, short term, I'm going to, you know, chase a 10-second high without thinking long term. I mean, there's just so much immaturity in that mindset.
To be a man who protects their sister in Christ. And if you're not that man, you're in a church community that is full of men who want to protect their sisters in Christ. So
watch out.
Connect the dots.
And I mean, I think there is, I would say to the young men in our church, there is so much more involved with what you're doing right now. That's a spiritual battle. And you're just dabbling with all sorts of things that, you're just letting the enemy in the back door. You know, it's a little bit of porn. It's a little bit of heavy petting. We're making out. We're just cuddling. Like,
there's, like, more going on.
Do you actually want to be responsible for causing somebody else to sin? Or do you want to be responsible that you are so passionate about pursuing purity in the Lord that you are bringing other people along into holiness and righteousness with you? Like, it's, I mean, when you can look at it from a 30,000 foot view and say, like, no, God's actually not that good, and I just want to do what I want to do. Like, if you can honestly say that, I'd say we've got concerns for your soul. But if you're just foolishly acting in that way, you need to wake up and understand what you're doing.
You said that, like, to cause somebody else to sin, and it reminds me of Jesus' words when he was giving a warning about causing young children to sin. I'd put young women in that. Do you remember what he says in that warning?
Better to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast into a lake.
Is that not the most gangster talk? I mean, can you imagine today a preacher being up there just like, time out. Hey, anybody that causes these people to sin, we're going to tie you to a bumper and drive you around the – like, it's just you read that and it's like, kind of like, did Jesus just say that? And there's a severity. Like, that was graphic, violent warning. Like, we're going to tie a millstone around your neck, throw you in the water. I think we miss some of, like, – because you could – if you didn't know your Bible, you'd be like, that does not sound very Christ-like.
Right.
But it's quoting Jesus.
Yes.
And to, when it comes to sin, like, the severity of it to fit, to, like, I think there needs to be a greater intensity behind that.
I think, I mean, people, but young guys in particular, they think they're the exception. Right. Like, well, this won't happen. I mean, I don't know how many years of pastoral ministry we have between the three of us, probably 40, 50 plus. I've never, ever once met a couple who have waited sexually for marriage. Like, you know what? I wish we wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can probably for days list specific examples of shame and regret from people who have had sex pre-marriage. And it's just like, don't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What do you hope the pro-life culture of Veritas is?
Yeah, I mean, we've got people that are, answering the call for foster care, for adoption. I would love to see continued desire just to care for the widows and orphans in our church, for families to support each other well, for people to be calling sin, sin, and not just being okay with like the lukewarm family dynamic of like church attendance, but like prioritizing family discipleship and making radical decisions where that's not happening to be able to prioritize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you say pro-life, I think you're speaking specifically, newborn, abortion, those types of things. I want people in our church to be passionate about that. I want people in our church to serve in ways and come alongside people, whether that's in our church or outside of it, in volunteer opportunities. And I also know, I mean, if that stat 1 in 4 women will have an abortion, like there's women in our church who have had or will have an abortion. And so what does it look like to both treat sin seriously and also help with guilt and shame and speak gospel truth and come alongside them? And so, this isn't something that I think exists out there.
Yeah.
And this is true in the context of Veritas Church. Yeah. What does it look like to be a community that proclaims truth and speaks out against abortion and speaks out with the authority of Scripture and yet comes alongside people and clothes them with the reality of the gospel?
Yeah.
I think I like that you brought up just the fact of like, we can't talk about abortion without talking about sexual immorality, which even that of like, we need to take seriously, like God's design for sex and marriage. We need to continue to prioritize healthy marriages. We've got, I don't know the number of books we have now in the bookstore, but we just added, a book series for parents to be able to walk through, like help talk to their kids about God's design for sex. Yeah. There's a 5-part book series up there that, we're walking through those with our boys and have only read 2 of the 4 of them. One is like a parent's guide, but take that seriously. But even more than like family discipleship, promoting like a biblical view of marriage, sexuality, personhood, identity is also, this applies to healthcare choices where like we haven't even talked about contraceptives. We haven't even talked about being on birth control. Like there are so many different types of birth control that actually act in an abortifacient way. So they actually bring about a chemical abortion.
Yeah.
And people are just signing kids up because of acne or just in case or regulating cycles. Like we need to make better biblical choices and we need to see how those things are connected and take that seriously.
What other, you mentioned some stuff in our bookstore, any other resources? Somebody's like, hey, I want to, you've stirred my curiosity. I want to read more. Where would you point then?
There's a book we have up there. It's The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self.
Oh, well that, yeah, that's just.
That's, I mean.
Yeah. Put your reading glasses on.
There's a lot there. Great book to listen to. He's got a really sweet, English accent. I think. My computer just died, so I just lost all my resources that I had pulled up.
I don't know which episodes, but listening to Al Mohler on the briefing, he often addresses issues of sanctity of life and society.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even in doing a little bit of prep for this, I mean, just desiring God always has. I mean, the thing I love about them is they just put all the resources out there, and so. Those are some good resources as well. I think just even getting back to what we said, not even being abortion specific, but one of the things that I just hope we continue to grow in as a church is just biblical literacy and making decisions based off of the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. And so books are great. Podcasts are great. All those things are great. What I would love for our church to be is just a church that loves God's word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest resource.
And in community, if you're struggling
for sure
with sexual immorality, or if you're pregnant and scared, like, be a part of a church and talk and open up and receive counsel and help. And that's what the church body actively should look like. So, Veritas, hopefully this conversation was helpful to you. I know our society talks about a lot of things, and we don't want to stay quiet about what's being talked about in our world. We want to be biblically shaped people. So hopefully this was helpful in that endeavor. Love you guys. See ya.